This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Draw play, Gorsett, and look out.
Uh-oh.
This could be bye-bye. He has great speed. Down the sideline, Tony Dorsett.
And look who caught him.
And Tony Dorsett goes down. Only one man on the field could catch him, Darryl Green, the world-class sprinter from Texas A&I.
He did make up some ground, too, Frank.
That was the night Darryl Green was introduced to the Washington fan base and the rest of the NFL. The season opener, 1983 Monday Night Football, Skins and Cowboys at RFK Stadium. And nobody back then could catch Tony Dorsett, but Darryl Green ran him down in what was a thrilling but a memorable loss. Washington blew a 20-point lead and lost to the Cowboys that night, 31-30. We're playing some of Darryl Green's signature moments. His number 28 retired Sunday during the Washington-Carolina game. I was wrong. Ben's going to join us earlier, I guess, on Fridays because of the Quinn get-together with the media. So we're going to get Ben on right now so he doesn't get scolded, lectured by the head coach for doing live radio hits during his press conference. So, what do you think, Sunday?
Kevin, always a pleasure, even if you forgot about me.
I did forget about you.
Sunday, what's interesting is, again, I think we're all recalibrating our mind as to what's happening here, right, with this whole situation. And, you know, we've all been surprised, obviously, with this 4-2 record. It was 4-1. The thing about it is, and look, they've lost to the two teams that are the two on the record, on their schedule so far, that are like looking like playoff teams, Tampa and Baltimore, and the other ones are not that way. But they've also just taken care of business. And, they, you know, the Cleveland game being the prime example, the Browns are a mess, and Washington allowed them to continue to be a mess by not, you know. And I think that, to me, is incredibly laudable and probably needs to get more attention. I before the season started, you know, my entire outlook for them was, is Jaden Daniels look like the guy, and are they competitive week in and week out? If they do those things, to me, this will be a winning season, let alone the, whatever the record is. So my point is, based on what we have seen, I think they're going to go out and handle business against the Panthers. Obviously, Carolina is not that good. Andy Dalton's a, you know, fine, competent quarterback, but he's not a game changer. They're giving up, as bad as Washington's run defense has been, Carolina's has been worse. They're allowing the most points in the league. They don't have a ton of game breakers on offense, though. Deontay Johnson, a receiver, and Chuba Hubbard, a running back, are pretty good. Their offensive line inside is not bad. But this is a game, based on what we've seen from Washington, that they should, you know, win, and because they're playing pretty, aggressive, competent. There's a lot of enthusiasm. So, you know, I think the game itself is not particularly exciting, you know, especially sandwiched in between a Lamar Jackson game and a Caleb Williams game. But, you know, if they keep this going, I think this will be a good sign for where they're at. Coming off a win, they were able to just take care of business in, you know, pretty matter-of-fact fashion.
Yeah, this is, I mean, we said it kind of before the Cleveland game, and we haven't said it much around here at all over the last many, many years, but this is a game they should win. You know, there aren't many in the NFL with teams that aren't either elite or good enough. But this is a game they should win. I think that's always concerning, especially when you are flawed. Because Washington is flawed defensively, Ben. They are not a good defensive football team. And teams can get healthy on them and their defense. So I'm just curious as to where you are on that right now. And I know that we'll have more time to talk about this in the coming weeks, but it's been a conversation, you know, on this show the last couple of days. What can they do to become a better defense to take advantage of what has been an elite offense in quarterback play?
Well, I mean, you know, like Joe Witt Jr., who I've enjoyed listening to so far this season, you know, he puts the onus on himself, you know, I've got to do a better job of getting the message through to players. But he's also been specific in certain ways. Like yesterday he talked about how the Baltimore game, from his perspective, came down to four plays in which there was communication issues. And he
broke it down. What were the four plays? Do you know? I heard him say that. What were the four plays? Does anybody know?
No, I mean, he didn't say, and, you know, I mean, Gavis can look at some of the bigger ones they have, you know, whether it was a Lamar Jackson run or the Zay Flowers screen or things like that. But in the secondary, you know, he said, look, communication, you know, is about sending the message, receiving the message, and essentially acknowledging the message, comprehending it. And he talked about how in a couple instances the message was sent appropriately and somebody just didn't you know, process what it was that they were to do. In other cases, the wrong message was sent, and so on. And communication sounds like something that should be easily fixable, right? Just repetition and just an understanding. But, you know, when we say that a team needs more talent, sometimes the talent isn't just about running a 4-4-40 or making a break on an out pass. Sometimes it is just the mental side as well. And I don't really know what they can do in the secondary, to be really honest. I just think their talent level isn't good enough. And unless guys like, you know, unless certain players just have significant breakthroughs during the season, which is not impossible, we do see that, it's hard to see where this goes. Now, that's not even factoring in. They just lost Jonathan Allen. And, you know, that's at a minimum, it's taking away a viable starter, let alone the maximum aspect of a guy who's been to a Pro Bowl a couple times, taking him off the field. We'll see if Dorrance Armstrong is available this week or not. He doesn't practice yet, and I know that rib injury was definitely painful for him. So we'll see about that. But ultimately, like, you know, even if Armstrong is out there and so on, I really don't know what much they can do, particularly on the back end. You know, again, the back end's not necessarily about the run game, which has been a huge issue, but I honestly, to me, the secondary is the real concern, and I think this is where they may ultimately land a tier or so below the main contenders in the conference, because, like I said, I don't really see how they're fixing this unless Emmanuel Forbes plays and has a big turnaround, you know, that commensurate to being picked in the first round a year ago.
Well, do you think they'll do anything about it trade-wise before the deadline?
I doubt it. I mean, like, look, if we're talking about a trade in which it's going to be somebody so significant that we'll all be like, wow, I can't believe they got that guy, but that guy's going to cost you a day two pick, I doubt it. If we're just talking about taking a total flyer on somebody's veteran that maybe, you know, just be a better version of what they have now, that you know, you trade a sixth-round pick for that player in a seventh or something, sure, I think that something like that on the margin, I think any team could make that. But I'd be surprised to see them make something that would all catch our attention, like, wow, I can't believe they just got that guy. I don't feel that happening.
Why?
For the same reason we've talked about all along. I just don't at the moment think they're deviating from their plan of the long-term thinking, that Adam Peters is not going to trade away these picks for likely a short-term fix. You know, I mean, look, they've got Carolina this week. They've got the Bears next week. And then they have the Giants. Those are three winnable games. If they win them all and they're 7-2, well, then maybe they have to have a different conversation in the room simply just based on the opportunity being presented. But I still don't know if that's you know, where if the organization does anything. Again, the two teams that they have played this year that were that we would say right now are like playoff teams, Tampa and Baltimore. You know, Tampa kind of beat them up pretty good in the opener, and then last week they were competitive against Baltimore for sure, but it also felt like the Ravens could just call their number as needed on when they had the ball. And I don't see it happening right now. But you know, go 3-0 in the next three games, and maybe you have to change your mind.
Yeah, I think that's fair in terms of the timing of a decision. But I also think what you know, a move that could be made doesn't have to be a short term move. You know, there are other options in addition.
I mean,
to short-term
if you can
moves.
Get the Montez Sweat, if you can get the Montez Sweat equivalent, like a 24, 25 year old in the prime of their career, that you in the following offseason would be willing to sign to a 4-year, you know, $100 million deal. Sure, those guys don't become available. But the reason he was available last year was because of the weird circumstance here of the ownership sale. They had already paid Allen and Payne. It was hard to see how you're paying the third guy. That's the thing. Anything is possible if the circumstances are there, but the odds of the circumstances being like that are pretty slim. Those guys don't get traded, typically, let alone at the deadline.
Who's out this weekend? Who do we have to be concerned about Sunday?
Well, I think Armstrong's the one to watch. Again, he hasn't practiced this week. I don't think the rib injury is like, you know, any long-term issue, but he was, you know, definitely in some legit pain. And we'll have to see. He was with the team stretching yesterday, which arguably is a positive sign. But then he went to the side field when practice started, and they listed him as did not practice. So if he doesn't go today, you know, it seems unlikely he plays on Sunday based on general how these things work. But, if he's not able to go, you know, not only has he been, you know, one of their better pass rushers, but, you know, you take him off the field with John Allen the same week. Javonte Jean-Baptiste had been, you know, high up in the rotation. Now he's also on IR. So that would be a big blow. They don't have a ton of depth that, on the defensive end, you'd have Cleveland Farrell and Dante Fowler presumably getting most of the reps. And then you're looking at, what, F.A. Obata, who was back last week off IR, and I guess the never-ending discussion of whether Jamin Davis is going to have a role or not. So the depth thins out pretty quick if he's not able to go.
Ben Standig joining us at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. Read him on The Athletic. He's got a podcast, Last Man Standig. Emmanuel Forbes, you've already mentioned him. What do you see as his role Sunday?
I mean, based on what we've seen and what they have said, I see no role for him on Sunday. I'd be pleasantly surprised. You know, the other day, I think it was talked on Monday, but we had Dan Quinn, and I asked him first, he's been playing Mikey Sanderson on the outside. Is the plan, though, for him to still be a long-term slot corner? And he said, yeah. Okay. So one way to sort of deal with that now is bring Forbes in, let him play on the outside, and put Sanderson inside. I mean, unless you're telling me that the Sanderson with Noah Igbinoghi combo is just that much better than whatever Forbes could or couldn't do, then it seems like I would try that, but they're not at the moment, looking to do it. They said last week he was inactive because they wanted to have an extra defensive lineman up, to battle the Ravens running game. And okay, maybe I get that to an extent, but it doesn't apply that, like, you could still start him. He can't play special teams. That's kind of the rub, or he's not much going to be much of a help there. So, but if you start him, you don't have the special teams is a lesser of an issue. You can, make another player inactive, whether Michael Davis or somebody. So, you know, he may be active this week, but they're going to have to do a 180 on how they're viewing him right now, it appears, for me to think he's going to play.
And Brian Robinson Jr. is a go, right, Sunday?
Barring a setback, he looks like he's going to play, yes.
All right. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standig, everybody. We will do some Denton.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News. There was a lot to cover from yesterday. We'll do that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.